I don't have a fancy sermon outline like I had last time. And this is going to kind of come straight from the heart, so bear with me. February 1st, got up, fed my wife breakfast. And after her breakfast, she says, "Man, the side of my face is numb. My fingertip, the index fingertip is numb, and her right thumb was numb." And we thought, oh no. But she was tired, so she said, "I'm going to take a nap." So she lay down and slept for a couple hours and got up and still felt the same way. We called the doctor. The doctor said, "Go to the hospital." And we went to the hospital, and surprise, surprise, they took her right back. I mean, usually I sit there 5-6 hours. So, of course, they thought, you know, she might be having a stroke. So they did a CAT scan and an MRI, and it didn't show anything. And in spite of the fact that during the course of the day, it got a little worse, it spread. By the end of the day, her hand was numb right down the center of this finger. And yet, they sent her home and told her, "If it gets worse, call your doctor or come back in." So the next morning when she woke up, she was numb straight down her body. Everything's numb on the left side. And I had to call an ambulance because I couldn't get her into the car this time. And so she went in by ambulance, and they set her out in the waiting room and came and got her and did all the tests from the waiting room. Yeah. And finally she got a room. I mean, the first night she had a room number. It was 501, but it was the hallway. I tell you, our medical system is broken. But anyway, her stroke finally showed up on the CAT scan, and it's in the thalamus, which controls the senses. And it's not, hasn't affected her muscles. She's got almost the same strength on both sides. It's just that she can't feel where her hand is. She can't feel where leg is, so chewing up the inside of her mouth because she can't feel where the food is. So a lot of challenges ahead of us, but we've already seen home health nurses been to our house, checked her all over. Occupational therapy was there yesterday. Rehab's going to be there tomorrow. And she'll be getting all fixed up, I guess. She's in good spirits and didn't affect her mind at all. And so we're thankful for that. But anyway, I was talking to, I told Pastor Mike several weeks ago that I was going to preach on forgiveness. And so I was talking to one of my friends who lives in Arizona, and she wanted to know all about what was going on. I told her what happened in the hospital and all this stuff, how they sent us home. You know, you'd think they'd give her clapbusters or something, you know, maybe prevented this from getting bad enough to show up on the CAT scan. And so I said, "You think there's a correlation between the two?" And she says to me, "Well, I think you should change the subject of your sermon and sue the hospital." So that's why I told you that whole story. I'm not going to sue the hospital. And there's no way to tell. She was taking blood thinners before because she has a stent. She has to take them all her life anyway. So technically they were treating her for stroke already.
What is her name?
Oh, Vivian. Yes. So, you know, as If you've spent any time in the hospital the last few years, you come to understand that the medical system is broken. And there's a lot of wonderful people working there, and they're doing the best they can. There's a lot of people that shouldn't be working there. We know that. But mostly, I think the biggest problem is the system, not the people. Insurance companies have taken over medicine, and so we count the beans, and that's what happens, which is not necessarily the best way to approach it. But let's go to prayer, and we'll get down to the sermon now. Now you got the background. And I like always to start whenever I do a Bible study on my own or with you. I shared this prayer with you once before, Psalm 119, verse 18. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is the meaning of forgiveness? We think of it as pardoning people. That's all right, doesn't matter. You know, that type of thing. The original word, according to scholars I study, I'm no original language expert, but they say that it means to let go. And I don't know if you've ever heard Elvin's song on letting go or not, but beautiful, beautiful song, and it certainly fits. When you forgive somebody, you have to let go of your feelings, your resentment, just kind of write it off. Now, we're not talking about salvation here when we talk about forgiveness in the sense. There's two different types of things involved here. Our salvation depends on the judicial standing, the judgment of God. And Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin. And when we accept him, we accept what he did for us, and we become part of the family of God. So that's the judicial end of it. And once that's accomplished, once you've accepted and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, that's the end of it. You are a child of God. So then you come up with verses like 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that verse turned into quite a little challenge for me, because I went to a school that was kind of holiness, and they seem to have the opinion that you can reach a state of sinlessness once you've been filled with the Spirit. And I knew I wasn't sinless. And so I was always, you know, confessing sin and a little bit worried about my salvation, afraid I might die with some sin unconfessed, right? You ever felt that way? Because it says, if, big quote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, that's not salvation. That's our walk with the Lord. Sin stands between us and God, and if we have known sin in our life, it destroys our fellowship with God. It limits the work He can do in us and through us. And so we need to confess our sin, not to me, not to priest, but to God. He's the one we've wronged. I believe also that if you've wronged another person, you need to get it straight with them too. But be careful with that, because there again, this school I went to, you know, they get to preaching on this stuff and telling us we needed to go, and we got stuff that happened in our past and all, and we really want a freedom in the spirit, we needed to get all that taken care of. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but there's some limits to that. You know, if I happen to notice a young woman and have impure thoughts, that's sin. Does it do me or her any good if I go and tell her about it? No, that's between me and God. And there's just all kinds of things like that. A lot of times in a church situation, we're a family. And we can step on each other's toes. But unless you know that other person's feelings were hurt, you really don't need to go and say anything to them. Because you might be opening a can of worms that they didn't even know about. I've had people come and apologize to me, and I wasn't even aware that you were upset. Now I feel bad that you were upset about it. You know what I mean? So in a lot of this, we need to just keep it between us and God. Now, you will know immediately when there's something between you and another person, if every time you see that person, you try to avoid them, or they obviously are trying to avoid you. Just don't just let that stuff go. Just come out and ask them or tell them, you know, you did this last week and it really upset me, but I think I was being too touchy. And so I forgive you. That might not go over too big, but you know what I mean. We're supposed to have a forgiving spirit. Yeah, I wanted to bring up the thief on the cross. You all remember that story. There was two thieves hanging there, and one of them was just criticizing Christ, and the other one said, you really must be the Son of God. You know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And right there, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Did you hear a big list of his sins? No. Right there, he believed in Jesus Christ and he was saved. You know, he made it. Yeah. But what about David? He's probably the biggest example of a person who was forgiven. And I want you to turn to First Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to use my phone. If you've got a Bible, fine. If you got a phone, laptop, I don't care. It's all the Word of God. So we're in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm sorry. And verse 13, we'll start there. So anyway, the story, the account, it's a true story, David and Bathsheba. And David saw one of his commander's wives bathing on top of her house near his palace and had her brought in, had relations with her. And she got pregnant. And this was a bad thing, so he sent this commander out to the front lines and made sure he got killed. And, you know, David was known as a man after God's own heart, so it's always encouraging me to read about David and the things he did. You know, we probably wouldn't ever forgive a person for doing something like that. I mean, what if Uriah was your brother? Would you forgive David? That was the commander he had killed. Probably not. But anyway, Nathan the prophet was sent to him, and he told David all about this shepherd and his sheep and all this stuff. And David says, well, let's kill that bastard. And this is the conclusion of the thing. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also who is born to you shall surely die. And then Nathan departed and went to his house. The death of David's son, and the Lord struck the child, and that Uriah's wife bore David, and it became ill. And you'll find that David went on and fasted and prayed and didn't eat anything and while the child was sick. But as soon as the child died, he cleaned himself up. Everybody was amazed. He says, well, you never know. It doesn't hurt to ask God, but God made the decision, and so I'm going to accept it, and now we go on. So there is forgiveness. But you notice, when Nathan came to David, it was to pronounce, you're going to die. Now, God's promises to David still hold true. He never took his kingdom away from him. His is the eternal kingdom. Jesus Christ is his descendant. So there's forgiveness, but his child, consequences, child died. That seems unfair to us, but that's what happened. Life is not fair. So what do we do here? I guess another one of my favorite verses is Psalm 139. So we'll go back to the Psalm. I want you to see this for yourself. I say back to the Psalm because that's where we started. You probably see my hand shaking up here. I'm not as nervous as I look. I get asked about it all the time by doctors. And once I tell them I had the shakes when I was in grade school, they won't do anything about it because they say babies shake when they're learning to do stuff, and some of us never grow out of that. Oh, lucky me. Anyway, this is the one, and I think all of us need to pray this prayer. regularly. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, when it comes to sin, I don't think we as Christians need to spend our whole lives worrying about it and being oversensitive. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of sin. And it's been my experience that he's pretty good at it. And you'll know. But pray that prayer, see? Search me, O God. It's not something you have to do yourself. Let God search. Spend some quiet time. You know, a lot of times when we study God's word and when we pray, we're so busy talking. And we need to just stop. Listen. Be quiet. And God talks to us. We serve a living God. He's real. He's in our hearts. The Spirit is in us, and he speaks to us. And he speaks to us through his living word, and he speaks to us through his still, small voice. So search me, O God, and know my heart. And the other one, when you start out reading the word, you should always ask God's help. And I use the psalm. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I guess I use that because it's what my dad prayed every time he read the Bible to us kids before we went to bed at night. So that's what I grew up on. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can call you Father. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to die for us. And because of that, we can have total forgiveness. Our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, covered by the blood of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we keep sinning. And we know that it causes a break in our relationship with you, causes barriers that need to come down. And so, Lord, search our hearts. Show us the wickedness. And give us the courage to confess our sins. And we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.